WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Have you been wronged by your nicotine pouches? Settle for sharp edges, rough texture, flavor that drops off. Your pouches are a total wreck, and we're here to get results. Introducing On Plus, the softest pouch on the planet, made with plush, stretchy Nico Silk mesh. That's right, it's as soft as it sounds. So stop settling. Buy On Plus nicotine pouches today at onnicotine.com. Products for tobacco consumers 21 years of age or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. I am your host, Anthony, and I am so excited about today's episode. If you remember, a while back, we had an episode with Shannon Savoy, and I'm definitely going to bring her back. Shannon, if you're listening, you're definitely coming back because I want you to do a show with my guest today. All right. My guest today is an author. She's an actress. She's just one of those general all around people that I guess she does a little bit of everything. I feel like, you know, maybe I'm not pulling my own weight around here, y'all. I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do because she's doing so much. So on today, I want to introduce my guest. I'm very honored to have her, Miss Gina Dobson. Miss Dobson, how you doing on today?
I'm doing well. I'm so thankful to be on your show. I've been looking forward to this, and you're just amazing. So I can't wait to see what manifests from this.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. You made me feel like somebody I am not. But anyway, I appreciate it. Now we'll get into the topic. We definitely want to talk about this whole scapegoating thing. But, sure. You know, I do research on everybody who's on the show, and I start researching you. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're an actress. Like, okay, you know, there's a lot of people out here that say, you know, I'm into acting. Goddamn. No, you have done films. You've done films like Life is Strange, Before the Storm, Another Time. You do the thing.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting how that even emerged. I'm a teacher by trade, and I was working at a charter school. And it was a charter school that I knew I wouldn't stay long because I was being harassed by my immediate boss. So I dreamt of, what can I do to escape this? And it was acting.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. And so, you know, unbeknownst to me, I would ultimately lose my job due to respectability politics. But that was fine because the Lord, I'm a Christian. Let me just start this conversation.
All right.
To the Holy Spirit on everything. So during my last 6 months before we mutually departed, I was just feeling like I need to get into Hollywood. So I left my job in May of 2012. June, I took my first acting class and I booked my first show that November.
Oh, wow.
And then subsequently, I continued my commitment to training, and the following 3 months, I landed my first principal role in a short film, and I did another television show. So it just was confirmation that it was time for me to leave one part of my life and go into what I think will be my ultimate destiny, because I think being an actress gives me a spectacular platform for other things that I'm really geared to do in life. So it's been a blast.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. I am happy. I commend you for listening to the Holy Spirit, as you said, and just moving forward. I hope that you achieve everything you're supposed to achieve in acting. But let's talk about your is authorship a word? Let's talk about you being an author. I don't want to make words up. I don't. Let's talk about you being an author. This book.
Okay.
Let's talk about this book. So you wrote a book called Stop Scapegoated No More, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I want to talk about this book and what scapegoating is and why did you feel the need that, or why did you feel the necessity to write this book?
So, okay, let's start with what the definition is. Mm-hmm. A scapegoat basically is someone who's blamed for the faults of other people, their wrongdoings, their mistakes, all of the things that really project family failures, right? And it typically starts with the narcissist's mother. Narcissists are very euphoric. They need a supply that can keep them elevated. They're very manipulative, and they just want to always be on the forefront of perfection.
Now you said supply. What? Expound on. And I don't want to jump in it, but you said supply, and I'm like, whoa. What does that mean? They need a supply of what?
Well, just someone that's always going to endeavor to make them feel affirmed.
Oh, wow.
Just always feel like they are flawless, right? Like Beyonce said, flawless. I woke up flawless. So they just always want to feel in control, because being perfected and being in control are twins, right? And if one isn't in control, then all of the faults start emerging. And so they need people that are there to always kind of pat their egos, to make them feel that they are just awesome. And typically what they do is they love to pit, if we're talking a familial structure, they love pitting siblings against each other, where one becomes a celebrated child and then one is the scapegoat. And the celebrated child then works together with the mother, if that's the person that is the impetus for that scapegoating, and kind of damning that child and just making sure that you know that they themselves are positioned, because who wants to be a scapegoat knowing what the mother's doing? They're not trying to become the roving or rotating scapegoat and take on the scapegoat's role. So they're going to make sure that they do everything that's manipulated by the mother.
Oh, wow.
Not realizing the ultimate damage that will do to them. So, yeah.
Oh, so the child that joins the mother in scapegoating doesn't even know that they've been recruited against that sibling. Wow.
Absolutely. Because I guess for like manipulative mothers, they're verbally abusive, but then sometimes they're masters in even being passive aggressive. And so a lot of their stuff is like veiled, but yet they at the same time, they know how to make the celebrated child feel so important and will incentivize the child by maybe taking them out to eat, to saying, you know, I'll pay for your college tuition, while the scapegoat child there, it's like, we don't have enough money for you because we already paid money for the oldest child. So it sets up a contention between both, because who's trying to pay full tuition when they could have their mother doing it? So if they're willing to throw the sibling or the scapegoat under the bus, they're willing to do it. So it just sets up two different, you know, hierarchical strands, if you will. And narcissistic personality disorder is not just in the familial structure. We see it with our last president, who I shouldn't name, who blamed the failures of America on people of color, calling Haiti an asshole, country in Africa, saying that Mexicans, you know, bring us more than just drug dealers and rapists, and just, you know, really fashioning America in such a way that even after he's gone, we are sharply divided, so that the familial structure is where it begins, but it just kind of goes out and veers out into the mainstream society. It's in churches and synagogues.
Hold on to that, because we're going to get there. Hold on to that. Keep going. But hold that. We're going to get there. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You struck
a nerve. Right. Yeah. So, you know, it could be even, you know, I have a chapter in my book that talks about scapegoating, you know, things and objects. Like, I had a friend, I believe nameless, who, when we went to the restaurant, everything was wrong with her meal. Bringing the waitress, you know, waiter or waitress to come back that, you know, something's wrong with my food, or why isn't my fork clean enough, or I just went to the bathroom and I don't like the smell of it, or, you know, and then the whole experience was horrific when really it was about her just being a miserable person and needing something to blame. Mm. So, you know, it's not just blaming people, it's blaming even your own, you know, let's say imperfections where, you know, you're a student in college and you're not doing well in class. Well, there are times that it's not scapegoating. There's, you know, validity in someone's complaint. Let's say you have a professor mm-hmm. who did not tell you what was on the test or gave you material that said this is what the test will be on. And then you take the test and it wasn't. Okay, well, if you fail, then that's in part largely by the professor. But then there are times when the professor says what's on the test and the student didn't study, but then they'll say, well, no wonder I'm not doing well in the class. I just checked the curriculum vitae of the professor. He's not qualified. And so then it starts scapegoating, you know, oh. why this person isn't doing well in this particular class. It's the professor's fault. So I think in scapegoating, it's really about finding out why people are being blamed. Is a blame, you know, is there merit with it, or is it about denigrating someone's, you know, character and bringing equity by bringing somebody else down, by bringing equity to oneself? So oh, wow. there are distinctions.
Well, now, why do you think, is this a generational thing? Why do you think scapegoaters, why do you think the scapegoater becomes a scapegoater? Is it that's just them, or were they once the scapegoat T and they are just passing this down? Because you mentioned families. That's the you led off with families.
Yes.
And so is this a generational thing that we're dealing with here?
So you both of what you're saying is absolutely true. But I'd like to start out with the fact that I don't believe, from my research and just from my own intuitiveness, that people want to be a scapegoater. Mm. From what I've read, that people, when they've had disruptions in their lives, like death of a parent, or there could be violations where there was no control, sexual violations, things that are really life curses, or things that have really taken someone off of their footing, they have learned that they don't have control to, like, get rid of what has already transpired. So the way to gain agency is by then taking on the what they couldn't control and placing that onto someone else, not realizing that they're doing it. Sometimes they know, but a lot of times they don't. And when they're successful in that, when they're able to project, I call it projection and deflection, as well as social okay. psychologists, when they're able to project that, then the person being scapegoated willingly takes on that blame, and then it becomes cyclical, because if the scapegoat doesn't get the deliverance, then they turn into the scapegoaters for their family. So it starts out with disruptions in families, not getting the proper therapy, and if so, then it could transpire into becoming an abuser. Wounded people wound, hurt people hurt.
Oh, wow. That's deep. That's deep. That's 100, but that's deep, y'all. That's deep. Now, so what are some signs? How does, if I'm the scapegoater?
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned the scapegoater never really wants to be the scapegoater.
Typically, no.
Okay, right. Typically. How do I know I'm scapegoating? Do I know? Because it seems that if I didn't want to be, typically want to be the scapegoater, I may not know.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I think that the thing, and that's a great question. A lot of times it's hard for a person to know that they're scapegoating because they're typically narcissists. I mean, very rarely do you find a scapegoater that's not a narcissist. It's typically they're twins. If you're a scapegoater, you're probably dealing with a generalized euphoria, something that's really dysfunctionally placed, where you think that you're more than what you are because really you're insecure. And so if you really know that you're not who you say you are, then you're going to have to unpack who you are. And that's when it becomes painful. So a lot of times you'd have to unpack narcissism, and a lot of narcissists do not know that they're narcissists because it's benefiting them. It's working well for them. They're getting their supply. They're staying at the top. They're able to perfect and be that which ultimately they know that they're not. But as long as they can keep the public image and there's public consumption buying into what they are, then they're willing to stay there, even if it's dysfunctional.
Wow. So that individual needs somebody out there to buy into whatever they're selling. Kind of like you hinted, our former president, he needed somebody out there to buy in to. Now, is it safe to say it's almost like an avalanche? If one person buys into it, oh, I'm going all in.
Absolutely. Wow. And you know, when you think about the president, look who backed him. The white supremacists backed him, Congress backed him.
Yes.
With all of the war crimes, with all of the things that he's done to project, you know, discomfort and disaster in so many people's lives, and he's still not in court, and we're talking he has no protection of being a sitting president. That just shows you that, you know, there are people that are still willing to fight for him. I mean, Arizona just did a recount of the vote.
Yep.
It's rumored that Georgia may do it, all because people are buying into this evil of this individual. And I like to make juxtapositions between him and Adolf Hitler, who was also a narcissist. And at his narcissism, at the hand of it, 6 million Jews died. That's how toxic narcissism is, and ultimately scapegoating.
Wow. Whoa, we're getting deep into this scapegoating thing, y'all. This is deep. Ms. Dobson, you hitting all kind of points, boy. You hitting all kind of points. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we are gonna get into this scapegoating thing a little bit deeper. And you mentioned scapegoating in the church, and I really want to get into that. So we'll be back. Y'all don't go anywhere. Miss Gina Dobson is with us, and we're talking about scapegoating. We'll be back.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
We're back, people. This is the Life Strong Project, and I have the pleasure of reintroducing our guest, Ms. Gina Dobson, and we are talking about this scapegoating thing. And we've already discussed, Ms. Dobson, that scapegoating is it can be generational. I mean, it attacks everything from our family to our leadership, our presidency. This is serious, serious business. And before the first break, the first segment, you mentioned something, and it struck such a nerve, not a nerve, but it hit home. And I said, please, please, oh, please don't let go of that. Because I want you to expound on this, because this is a conversation I have had with so many people. Scapegoating, not on the street, not just in the home, not on the job, but in the church. Man, come on. You're going to have to expound on this, Ms. Dobson. Scapegoating in the church. How is it possible that we have scapegoating in the church? Please.
Yeah. So I want to start out by saying, as also being a member of the clergy, that I fight for the church as my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, he himself was a scapegoat. Jesus was a sacrifice.
The ultimate scapegoat.
He was the ultimate scapegoat. Come on, preacher. Okay. He was the ultimate scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And when you look at how that shifted to the church, you see a lot of spiritually abusive leaders in the church, specifically, let's go there, in the Black church, because we make the pastor the God. Okay, I'll say it to the people in the back. We make the pastor our God, right? We don't, my mother always said, sometimes people become so affixed with their pastor, they won't cook for the man, but they'll cook for the pastor. Okay. So, man. there's almost like a lust in the church, right? The world has hit the church. And so when you have that kind of, let's call it what it is, idolatry, then it's easy for leaders to become spiritually abusive, right? So you have spiritually abusive leaders. They twist the truth to make themselves look better. They demand respect instead of earning it. Mm. They betray your confidence and they share your information with others. Yes, they do. It's not just the chicken shit and eating committee that gossips. It's the pastors as well. And they don't allow themselves to be accountable. They act as if they are an anarchist. And so I believe
don't
that
you dare speak against the man of God. Yes. Just don't
absolutely.
Question. Yes.
And so there's a lot of church hurt. And then we won't even talk about the sexual abuse in the church, right? Mm. Let's stay in our church. We won't go to the Catholic church.
Right.
Let's talk about there's something called, and I'm Church of God in Christ. Even okay. within my organization, there is something like kojicabuse.org for the multitude of bishops that have molested congregants within the church, and they are still pastoring churches, right? So, when it's brought to the fore, then it's, well, nah, that can't be pastor. You know, he's a Morehouse grad. He has done so much work. He used to go to Africa and give to people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's probably that child because he was always wayward anyway and always, very sexual. So then that's the scapegoating. It's like they don't want to look at the fact that it's leadership and not the people coming forward.
Wow. So and then it's not that leader that's only being the scapegoat, but you've got people that refuse to hold that leader accountable or even fathom that that leader could possibly, there's no way in the world
absolutely.
He or she could do something like that. No.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, that pastor is a scapegoater and the people that aid and abet are what I call triangulators or co-conspirators, which I talk about in my book, not specific to the church, but just being able to tether together and make sure that that person is held in high regard. And with the Black church, the pastor can do no wrong in the eyes of the saints.
None. And none. I'm not speaking. Now, hold on. I'm not speaking against pastors. And I'm sure Ms. Dobson is not. As she said, she's also a member of the clergy. Let's get this straight. So before
I went
people
to seminary, so I'm trained. I'm
all right,
ended.
All right.
And
so
I can tell that's you, a whole I've seen some stuff.
That's a whole nother story. You being actually going to seminary and being trained. That's a whole nother segment. but as she stated, she is not attacking the clergy. She's a member of the clergy.
Right.
But as a member of the clergy, it is amazing that you realize that you're not one of those triangulators and that you recognize, okay, that's scapegoating. We've got to get out of that. We've got to get out of that.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
Because
and then also, sometimes it's little things like if you want to change churches, you realize you've grown where you could and now you want to go to another church.
Yes.
You're scapegoating to make, with the pastor saying, well, you're going to miss God if you stay here.
Yes. Because God is only in one church.
Right. He's only over this church. And you're going to miss the anointing of God because you're assigned to your leader. Well, yeah, we are assigned, but sometimes God can move us to other places.
Yes.
I know for me, I've been to three churches and the one I'm at now, I've been there for the last 16 years and I'm growing, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to start my own church and just sit under my pastor.
Right.
So I think it's even knowing who you are spiritually so that you don't fall victim to spiritual abuse. But that's a heavy thing within the church. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if, I was just going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if that even happened in other religions within the Judaic faith, you know? Leadership is leadership, and it can be abusive.
Wow. So now what I was going to say was, because it seems that if this scapegoating, this narcissistic behavior can move throughout families, is it safe to say that narcissistic scapegoating leadership breeds scapegoating narcissistic yes,
absolutely. If they're not following God, see, it's all about, this is what I love about, I mean, and I, and let me caveat this before I say the next statement. COVID-19 is horrible. And even though California is fully open.
I know where you're going. Come on.
Yeah. And it took out a lot of people. And I want to say, those that are listening, if you've lost someone or you yourself have contracted the disease and was blessed with, I my heart is with you and I'm praying with you and praying for you. That said, COVID-19 was a beautiful experience during our quarantine, because I believe God allowed it. He didn't cause it. He allowed it to happen to show that we do not need the physical house. We need him. We need a vertical relationship. We got to do vertical before we do horizontal. If, and I was just thinking this when I was sitting on my couch today. If anybody comes back to this world being reopened and they didn't renew their mind, they don't want to change.
Ooh.
You got to be different.
Ooh.
You better. Oh, absolutely.
Ooh.
You got to.
Wait. Okay. Now you swinging haymakers now. You swinging haymakers. Y'all better duck. Some of y'all better duck. Woo. Okay. So, man. Okay. Now, that being said, the question I have, because this is a conversation, I'm not going to debate. I'm not going to say argue. This is a debate that I've had with a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back to the whole scapegoating and narcissistic thing. And the reason I asked that question is because when I posed that question, the question of, okay, the question, actually, I didn't even pose it. A friend of mine posed it on Facebook, and he said, hey, is it during this whole COVID thing, you know, when we were doing, you know, virtual, are more people joining? And when I say joining, I mean becoming a member of that church. Or are people just visiting? And
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You know what they say. Early bird gets the ultimate vacation home. Book early and save over $120 with Vrbo. Because early gets you closer to the action. Whether it's waves lapping at the shore or snoozing in a hammock that overlooks, well, whatever you want it to. So you can all enjoy the payoff come summer with Vrbo's early booking deals. Rise and shine. Average savings $141. Select homes only.
You know, the conversation got to the point of, you know, why are they just visiting if they are just visiting? Now, here's my point. Those people in the church, and when I say in the church, I mean those people who are, how can I say it? In the church, let's just say, in the church, in the church. I'm trying to use my words strategically here. But they immediately attacked. And it was, no, there ain't no, you're, if you're just visiting, you ain't no visiting, ain't, you know, this, that, and the other. And I was like, well, wait a minute. And then the conversation got into the point of, okay, well, what's the problem, number one, with visiting if they're looking for something? That's right. How you find it, number one. And number two, what's the problem with this virtual platform? Because it seems right. like they had a problem with the virtual platform. And I right. was like, wow, it seems that COVID would have opened eyes and said, right. listen, look, yeah, that's the way we did it then, because we didn't have Zoom. We didn't have right. StreamYard. We didn't have all this. But now we do. Why? And I think I know where you're going to go with this. Why is it that people want to stress you got to come mm-hmm. here? You have to come here. And hold on, if you don't come here, you're not really a member. You are pretty much just visiting. Why is that?
Because I think Western society, I'm talking about Western Christianity, mm-hmm. is different. When you go to Africa and other places where people are really crying out, they can't even have, they don't even have transportation to get to what is a church, because they, you know what I'm saying? So they praise where they are. Do you ever look at clips, you know, where you see people in the bushes, you know, just lifting their hands up, having ate that day?
I was stationed in mm-hmm. Korea. Mm-hmm. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I was stationed in Korea and I was doing a land nav course. And in this course had mountains, not hills, mountains. And mm-hmm. some of the plots, the points that we had to go find were in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And as mm-hmm. I'm, you know, walking through trying to find these points, I could just hear people. Like, this was a closed off set. I mean, closed off, you know, range. And I'm like, right. where is that coming from? Now, it was in Korean. I couldn't understand that. And I'm at least, they called it plot, the plot point that I was at was 150. They call it hill 150. That means I was up there. I was at least 150 feet up. I right. looked up and I could see people in prayer. I was like, whoa.
That's beautiful.
I was, now this, they weren't in a church. These people had went. We weren't even allowed to go up there. You hear me? We weren't. They were like, nah, you stay down here. If we catch you
like
up there.
Moses.
You know. So.
Absolutely.
So they were up there. And I was like, I think that was the first time mm-hmm. I had ever seen that. Because I was raised, and I was raised uh-huh. Kojic as well. I was raised that you got to come to the church. The four walls.
Right.
You have to come.
Right.
Even prayer. I mean, everything, noonday prayer. Yeah. And I'm like, can they not pray at home? I mean, what if, like you said, what if they don't have a vehicle? And I know we're getting a little bit off subject, but what if they don't have a vehicle? What if
right.
what if they're older and they can't, you know, make
right.
it?
Right.
How do you, what is it about an individual, a narcissistic individual, that says this person is I don't know, because they can't come, they're less of a member or less of a saint or less of a Christian than someone who comes every day, because I don't know about y'all, but I was raised Kojic, and let me explain what that means.
Yes,
back in the 80s and the 90s. Let me explain what that means. All right. That meant Sunday school. No. That meant Sunday morning prayer, Sunday uh-huh. school, Sunday morning worship, you know, Sunday morning. That's what we call Sunday, you know, Sunday service.
Right.
Oh, don't forget YPWW at night. that was Sunday night. So all day Sunday, I was in church.
Tell it.
Monday nights. My mother was missionary meeting or usher meeting or mm-hmm. something. Tuesday night service. Wednesday, if you're lucky, that was a rest day, I guess, because Thursday was another meeting of some sort. Friday, night service. Saturday, you had one or two type of rehearsals. If you were in a choir, you choir rehearsal, or you had something, and then you back to it on Sunday. So now,
right.
When I say every day, I mean just about every day. But if you can't right. come, what makes you less of a member? What is that narcissistic behavior? What is it about? Because this sounds like a psychological thing, I'm assuming.
Right, right. And I will say this also, I might get in some trouble. I think it also has to do with just simply
good, tithing. Good trouble, good trouble, good trouble. That's what.
Okay, yeah, John Lewis.
That's what John Lewis said, good trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of it just is the tithe and offering. They're not coming into the house. And then when it's coming in the house, is it going to the ministries or is it going to the leadership? I mean, we just got to unpack all of that. It's why Jesus threw over temples. What was that about? He had to take a lasso and a whip and drive the cattle out. A lot of what you're seeing is fulfillment of what we read in the Bible. It's nothing has changed. Mm. Nothing has changed. And so millennials are like, until y'all figure this out, I ain't serving no one.
Aha.
Let's go there. And so what's happening, the blood is going to be on those heretics and blasphemers who call themselves Christians in the faith that are doing anything but reflecting who Christ is.
Oh, wow.
Through greed, lust, and power.
Oh, wow. Now, I'm just give you a heads up. They're going to come. They're going to come.
Right. I know. I'm ready. Know, I'm bang. Ready. You can bring me on your next show. I'll take it.
We
love Jesus. We're not talking about Jesus died for the church. So watch this. We're not talking about the church Jesus died for. We're talking about the synagogue of Satan that says that it's church. That's what we're talking about. The ones, yeah, that's what we're talking about. These erratic models of, you know, grandiosity that when you walk in these mega churches, you say, oh my gosh, this must be, you know, a lot of ministry going on because we got big buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not always reflective that God is in control. You got big buildings, but you've got leadership that lives in houses that of grandiosity, and their leadership, or I'm sorry, their congregants are in the hood. They can't even get there. Don't have money to take the subway to get there. There should never be that gross of a distinction between how well a pastor is living and how his congregants are thriving. There should never be that.
So is that safe to say that right there is a sign, a symbol, a big glaring, flashing yellow or red light that says scapegoat or narcissist?
Yes, absolutely. Because they go big or go home. That's what narcissists do.
Wow.
So wow. It doesn't stop in the, you know, at the family. It, as we see it, it goes to the leadership of the White House. It goes to the churches, wherever. Wow. It is an evil that is pervasive. And that's wow. why it has to be called out and identified.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all, this is good. Ms. Dobson, this is good. All right, you hear me? This is good. This is good stuff right here. We're going to take a break. But when we get back, we'll continue talking about scapegoating. This is so good. So good. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
All right, people, we are back. I had to take me a Gatorade break. I needed some electrolytes after last segment because Miss Gina Dobson went in. She told it like a T. How they say it? Like a T.I. is? Like it. T-I-S. Yes, yes, yes. So, the book. Let's talk about this book. The book titled Stop Scapegoated No More, which is available on Amazon. What is this book detailing? I know it's scapegoating, but what does it, what are the points that it hits?
So it's I like to call it a triage, because basically it deals with the intellectual side of it. There's a lot, it's heavily researched. I think there's like at least 97 books that between references that I've used. Yeah. And then, so the book is a triage of sorts. It's psychological, it's theological, and then it's scholarly. So I do a lot of research. I have about 97 references, which includes peer-reviewed journals and books, even the Holy Bible. And so what I do, what I love to do, is kind of bring it conversationally. So there's a lot of memoir in there, my personal experiences in the workplace. I was let go because of the fact, and I think it was before we even went to air, I was let go of my job because I was the workplace scapegoat.
Wow.
I was being harassed by my principal and my assistant principal. They constantly harassed me. I mean, every day I came to work, there was an email saying, we need to meet with you. I was constantly getting file checks to make sure that my files were up to code with state ed. And just all of that, when I really realized it was racism. These are women that came from a specific part of LA, which is highly conservative. And some of the things that they said to me were low-key racist. And so I was the only Black teacher there. So they effectively let me go. So I talk about that journey. And then I talk about the memoirs of others within spaces that they've gone through their personal things of, like, being a victim of abuse and being victim shamed as a result of it. So it talks about that. So there's memoir. And then the theological approach of is what we talked about. Jesus himself being the ultimate sacrifice and what that looked like and how that lays a framework in terms of what we see today in religion. And then there's clinical approaches, like how do we heal? What does that look like? And a lot, I'm telling you, even as a member of the clergy, I preach therapy in this book, because there's stigma around therapy, particularly within Black and brown spaces. We think, well, if the Holy Ghost is here, he can do it. Well, yes, he can do it. He's God, but he even put therapists on earth.
Yes.
Right? So I think it's important that we start unpacking that we need to get help because of hypermasculinity within, especially within the African-American community, where our Black young men are killing themselves. The suicide rate is soaring amongst Black men because they're not addressing pain, especially pain of being abused and being a scapegoat. So they're making poor choices, whether that be drug addiction or, you know, going out gangbanging or, you know, getting in, you know, a lot of frivolous activity versus getting the help they need. And I remember mentioning this too, they're read as many adults. This was in another broadcast that I was in, where people don't see our young Black men as still being children and needing the love and the nurturing and the support. And a lot of that I talk about, even there's a chapter called The Father Wounds, and it's the hierarchical destruction and assault on the family, where even if you have a father that's in the home, if that father is not present, then what's the use of having them there? So, you know, it goes into that. And there's 25 chapters. And I think that anyone, whether or not they're a scapegoater or a scapegoat, they will find themselves in one of those chapters. And so I'm hoping that, oh, there's one thing that I did do. I really talked about policing, specifically with George Floyd and everything that happened, and how policing is not really called the way that it should be. It was called into because of slave catching that really back in the day, near 1619, when slaves were smart enough to run away from the plantation, there was a slave patrol looking for them. And that slave patrol turned into what we know as American policing. So that's, well, I'm sure, you know, even being in the armed services, I'm sure you saw some of the disparities with, you know, how certain people were trained.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right. And so there's like this militarization of cops, which I talk about, and how that's really impacted our communities with, you know, the police brutality and the terrorism on Black men. There's a chapter I talked about the plot to exterminate Black males. So there's a lot of my chapters deal with discrimination and how the othered groups, other people, like even people within Chinese spaces and other, you know, and in Latino spaces, and how even they come against us at times. And so it's a lot. It's, and some of this is my connection to my pain and what I see, the pain of my community, and I speak to it. So it, there's a lot. And I think that if people read it, they have an open mind, they can get something from it.
Now, you mentioned the word therapy.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've experienced, especially with young people, is when things don't go their way.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like nowadays they're quick to automatically point the finger and express why, you know, things aren't going the way. It's, you know, you hear things like, well, it's the system. The system is set up that way. Or they'll somebody in Congress or somebody in the, you know, a certain seat, or they don't want us to succeed. So why, even during the election, I heard some people saying, I'm not going to vote because it's already predetermined. They ain't going to count them anyway. And so you mentioned the word therapy. And I'm going back, and why do you think that are, I don't want to say predetermined, because it's not predetermined, it's generational, this generational belief that therapy is, you know, not up to par or not for us, or if you're in the church, not of God? Do you think that stimulates the growth in scapegoating? I mean, because it seems like it's that's the easy thing to do. If something goes wrong for me, well, Miss Dobson, she the one. If she wouldn't have did this, I'd never be like this. And it just seems like that it's growing. It's becoming almost like a fashion. Like, that's the cool thing to say or the cool thing to do. Number one, I mean, you mentioned therapy. So what type of therapy should they be looking for? And number two, how do we get out of this stigma that, hey, therapy is okay? I don't know. I don't even know where we, you know, that came up. How do we break that cycle?
Well, I think it's already started happening. I know the church that I'm a member of, they actually have a whole therapy department. We have 80 ministries, and one of them, they have trained clinicians with licenses in psychology.
Oh, wow.
Because they're realizing that, and this is, I'm glad you brought this up, because also the book, the title, it says it's pneumopsychosoma. Those are the three things that comprise an individual. The pneuma is the spirit, the Holy Spirit,
okay,
that connects to our spirit. So that has to be in line. The psyche is the mind. Mm. The soma is the body. And when one of those things are out of line, if we're not aligned with the spirit, then everything's off. If we're not aligned in our mind, everything's off. If we're not aligned in our physical body, everything's off. So the psyche has to be addressed. And I think what's happening is churches are beginning.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
Getting to see that some people are just not well, and they need more than just a good sermon on Sunday, that they need some emotional and social support. So at my church, we actually had a full-on psychotherapy clinic right on the campus of our church. And this is happening. I'm seeing it at other churches as well. So that's the good news. And I think the cycle can be broken where people start seeing it as, you know, people start looking at the suicide rates. You know, I know in the schools, we have so many kids, especially during quarantine, it's sad to say, even at the elementary level, that there were suicide attempts made. I know there was a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, I think last March, African-American girl, that her mother found her hanging in her bedroom. And they were a Christian family, because she just could not deal with being isolated and quarantined. So I think as we start seeing more manifestations, and it's sad to say that that's what it takes, just like it took having a knee on the neck to talk about systemic racism, I think we're getting to the point now with the suicide rate soaring, and, you know, you have young people, 21-year-old, you know, walking into churches like what happened at Mother's Emmanuel in South Carolina, or, you know, killing people that just prayed with him. Yeah. I think that we no longer can hide. So I think it's already starting. Will we get there to full capacity in our lifetime? I don't know, but I think that ball has already started rolling.
Wow. Wow. So what are some of the signs that I can look for that may key me off and say, man, I just may be scapegoating? Somebody may be listening to this and say, man, I never thought of, because you hinted at that earlier. Well, you didn't hint. You don't hint. Let me tell you. You don't hint. But you spoke about that earlier, that people generally don't want to be a scapegoat, and they generally might not know. How can I say, after listening to this, what are some of the signs that I can say, whoa, I need to dial it back, and maybe I need therapy, because all this time I've been a scapegoater?
Right.
And I know you spoke earlier and you said that the narcissistic side of it is going to compound things. But let's just say that, let's just say that listening to this, it's sparked something, and it got through, and they said, man, what are some of the signs, and how would they, venture through that?
Well, I think with just to kind of reiterate, I think with your scapegoater, I think that's just revelation. But I will say this, if you're a scapegoater and you don't know that you are, but you have people come up to you saying, why do you talk to me like that? Why are you always blaming me for stuff? I'm tired, of the way that when I walk into the room, I feel like, whatever I say, you're gaslighting me. You're invalidating what I'm saying. When you start hearing people critiquing you and speaking to what they view you as being, that you're improprietous in how you're treating them,
right,
then at some point you have to say, maybe there is something that I'm doing that's wrong, because it's not just this person. It was 10 last week. Wow. And I think anybody that has any level of humility will start doing. I know sometimes when I, as a teacher, which I also am, as I mentioned, if I have students complaining, like, come on, we just did this last week. When are we going to learn something new? And at first I'll be like, well, wait a minute. I just taught this. I just opened this unit this month. I don't feel like we did enough work in it. But after a while, I'm like, I think my kids are right. Maybe I did teach this last week and I should have, maybe lesson planned a little better. Like, I think sometimes we have to, when you have more than, let's say, 5 people coming to you and giving the same kind of critique, then you have to kind of unpack yourself. That's what teachers do. I see teachers that they can do no wrong in their eyes. It's the kids. It's because they're from poverty. They don't appreciate it. And they don't need to be teaching either. You know, they don't. If I taught at another school, my kids would appreciate me because they value education more. Oh, you should hear them light up the teacher lounge with horrible things that they say, right? Nothing abusive, but just their own implicit biases, right? But people like me that love to teach kids, I remember when I first started teaching, I was a little sensitive. I was very young. And so I thought, you know, they're just not respecting me because I'm young and I'm not much older than them. But the truth was, even though I was younger, that didn't invalidate what they were seeing in me not being a good teacher, because I wasn't a good teacher in the beginning. I was very new to pedagogy and, you know, not just directly teaching, but maybe having more cooperative groups or pair sharing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a really good differentiated instructive way to teach kids. You know, I was a bookworm, but then when you're trying to leave bookworming and have more of a praxis, that's where it got tricky for me.
Okay.
Because I didn't have the safety of a teacher in college. I had to go now to the classroom in the laboratory of kids and be this fascinating teacher that the book said I would be. And it was actually my students that taught me to be a good teacher. But that took a lot of humility
and
admitting that I wasn't good.
Wow.
You know, so with narcissists, if they're hearing constantly people saying, you know, you're always projecting flaws into me, what is that about? You know, or why do I feel isolated when we're in the room? You know, you don't want to be bothered with me, but you want to be bothered with my sisters or my brother. But, you know, when you start hearing that, then you kind of say, maybe I am a scapegoat or, you know, that kind of thing. But that's few and far between. A lot of times narcissists are so caught up in being elevated that they don't want to admit they need the work done in their lives to be better.
Wow, that's amazing. Ms. Dobson.
Yes.
Please tell me you're going to come back.
I will come back whenever you have me. I'm excited. I enjoyed today.
All right. This was amazing. How can people reach out and make contact with Gina Dobson? That's number one. And then number two, how can they find your book?
Okay. So they can find me, all of you wonderful, beautiful people. You can find me at on Facebook at Stop Scapegoat No More. Also on my website, which is stop-scapegoatnomore.godaddysites.com. You can find my physical copy at Amazon, and you can find my ebook wherever books are sold, which includes Barnes and Noble. You can find it at Scribd. You can find it even at Google Play. So you can go to Google Play Store and get the app, and then you can buy my book there.
Awesome. Awesome. Ms. Dobson, this has been amazing. Capital A at that. You notice I said amazing. This has been amazing. And I can't wait to have you back. Please, everybody out there, go out there and support. Grab this book. Visit her on her social media platforms. Reach out. If you guys have your own show, you got to have Miss Gina Dobson on it. This is a must. I've already trying to book her on another couple of shows. So y'all gonna have to wait in line, wait your turn. So Miss Dobson, it has been a pleasure. It's been an honor and a pleasure. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself and learned so much. Again, people, remember, hey, stay positive. We're all about a positive people making positive decisions and having a positive life. I thank all of you who are listening in and continue to listen in on the Life Strong Project podcast. And we are out of here for this episode. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Dobson. We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse.
Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Day or night, VerboCare is here 24/7 to help make every part of your stay seamless. If anything comes up, or you simply need a little guidance, support is ready whenever you reach out. From the moment you book to the moment you head home, we're here to help things run smoothly. Because a great trip starts with the right support. And hey, a good playlist doesn't hurt either.